In the gradual and the Alleluia verse this morning, the church praised Saint Anne in the words of Our Lady's 44th Psalm, God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Grace is poured out on thy lips. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And what did you do on your summer vacation? Well, I have an answer for that question. It was just a week ago yesterday that I visited what they call the Queen of New Mexico's missions, the Pueblo of Acoma. Its church has walls that are 60 feet high, and it is perched on the edge of a mesa, which was the church itself in the village built centuries ago by the conquistadores from Spain, by the good Franciscan friars, in cooperation with their converts, the Christian Indians. And it still stands today, this church, solid, sturdy, built on a solid rock foundation, which rises some 400 feet high. The well-known Cincinnati Franciscan father, Fray Angelico Chavez, who belonged to the Cincinnati province of the Friars Minor, once described this mission as enthroned on a granite dais under a measureless sapphire dome of sky. On the inside of the church, there are still several treasures to be seen, including a very beautiful crucifix. And at the cemetery, outside the church from its height, you can survey all of the surrounding valley, and you can see, for God's glory, the mixture of magnificent mountains and mesas, these hills that rise very, very steeply and have a flat top. And then, too, the monument which men have built to the honor of their maker. But still, the visit to this pueblo and this church a week ago was a rather sad affair for me. The Indians who remain there have more or less returned to their ancient superstitions, and their medieval village, it goes back that far, is a miserable affair. Bleak modern houses, cheaply built, sun-baked streets of sand which give their dust, and the whole of it under a heavy, baking sun. And as you pass in the guided tour, you see little piles of garbage on rocks, and the guide says, oh, that's food for our spirits, the spirits of the ancestors. Now, this guide, which is obligatory to go into this Indian pueblo, you have to have one, was a woman of harsh and unsmiling mien. And she was even meaner in her politically correct commentary, commenting about the cruel Spanish conquerors and the Catholic Church and how horrible they were, when in reality, they gave these poor savages almost every good they now or once possessed. And in her commentary, her guide, she twisted history, blending it with today's syncretism and the old superstitions of the Indians, and then along with the Novus Ordo idea of ecumenism, that all religions are really just fine. But actually, one could barely hear the lady who served as the guide, because with us was a group of very unruly children, I suppose from some camp. Some of them were quite young, and none of them had been trained particularly to be polite and to listen when an adult is talking. And they would fight and scuffle and make noise, and some of them wandered very near to the cliff, because it was a sheer drop, and I wondered to myself if any would be falling off. So it was rather unpleasant when all of a sudden we turned the corner and we came to one of the many Indian pottery stands, which they set up outside their little houses. And this one had an old Indian grandmother, very short, her hair back in a bun, and her face, you could see it, glowed with goodness. Just as much, I thought, as the guide's flat face beneath her sunglasses glowered with that kind of godlessness that certain non-believers show. So this good little old lady stood at her table with her pottery, which had been lovingly made by hand, and some of it is quite exquisite. It's quite valued. It's all done by hand, and the Indians go into the desert still to get certain clay to make just the right color. And then it's all covered over painstakingly by hand with symbolism. Well, the little children were drawn to this lady, and they surrounded her table, and one little girl quite unconsciously shoves aside some of the pottery to place her plastic Pepsi bottle there. But the grandmother didn't seem to mind at all, and there she was. She was on their level. She was not much taller than they were, and I could see the children were enthralled by her explanations. Now, this, she said, that stands for south, and that's north, and see over here, now that's west, and this is east. And what does that mean, one of the children asked. Then she said, well, those you see, those are all the stars of heaven. And they were all listening quietly and behaving themselves. In an instant, this good grandmother was able to tame those wild beasts and make them into proper children again, inquisitive, interested, and willing to learn. This reminded me of a dream a boy once had of 9 years, the boy who would grow up to be Saint John Bosco. He seemed to be surrounded in his dream by a mob such as I've just described, of children were all talking and carrying on and fighting and even swearing. And he tried in vain to pacify the children, first by arguments and then with his fists, when all of a sudden a mysterious woman appears and she says to little John, softly, softly, if you want to win them, take your shepherd's staff and lead them to pasture. And as she spoke, the children were transformed first into wild beasts and then into gentle lambs. And I wonder if the lady in her dream was Saint Anne, or perhaps her sweet daughter, Mary. And in any case, thank God for grandmothers. Grandmothers, today is your feast day, and good Saint Anne is your model and patroness. That's what the French call her, la bonne Sainte Anne. It's a hard phrase to translate. Bonne means more than good. The Curé of ours would say, how good is the good God? It's the idea is that of a loving kindness which draws us, which attracts us. The English would probably say, our dear Saint Anne. While the phrase may be hard to translate, I have known many grandmothers who have translated it very well into deeds. Thank God for our grandmothers, Busha and Nona and Nana and Mamère and Abuelita, whatever the grandmother is called. She is very close to Almighty God And if she gets a chance, she'll keep her children there too. You must know, grandmothers, how much Almighty God and we too are waiting to come across you, to see you take some little beasts and capture their heart with your speech, softly, softly, to speak to them of God. Mom and Dad, you see, they're too busy to go to church anymore, and their hearts are too cold for Jesus to seek shelter there, or in their homes, in the stable of their lives. But grandmothers, that's different. This reminds me of the story of a grandmother who was having a hard time explaining to her little granddaughter why it was that Joseph and Mary had to go to the stable at Bethlehem. And the little child asked, why didn't they go to grandma's house? And that's a good question, isn't it? Because we would think of that automatically. Because grandmother is not too busy for her little ones. And she can spin a tale. And she can tell stories. Say one word which that child will remember for the rest of his life. Her gifts will be accepted. Her little sayings and prayers will never be forgotten. Grandmothers, you can lay a foundation which will stand the test of time like a great stone mesa in the southwestern desert. I want to go to Grandma's church, and indeed, why not? Last Sunday in the Mass, I don't know if you recall, we prayed from the 33rd Psalm at the Gradual. Come, children, listen to me. I will teach you fear of the Lord. And today, we turn to Our Lady's Psalm, the 44th. Grace is poured out upon thy lips, and thou art anointed with the oil of gladness. These words apply to Saint Anne. May they apply as well to all of our grandmothers. See Saint Anne there. She's instructing her granddaughter, her little daughter, Saint Anne, the grandmother of our Lord. See her. Our Lady's the Queen of Heaven, and yet she listens quietly and respectfully as her mother speaks to her. How humble little children can be. They're not wild beasts, not really. It's just that sometimes no one ever takes the time to train them. But some gentle grandmother, her face glowing with goodness, with God's grace, can draw them with just a word or two, and softly, softly, weave a web to entrance them with God's own goodness. And the whole story of God's mother and God's grandmother and of our church and of the saints and of the sacraments and of God's plan for our souls. Some parents, it's true, have fallen far, far away. But grandma, if you're close to your children in any way, surely there will be some way to show them the way back up to the stars of heaven. And this you may do, of course, your own way, with the words that come with grace to your lips. And when words fail, or miles, or misunderstandings separate you from your little ones, why, you can take comfort in what you do every day anyway. At the end of the day, there will you sit, beads in hand, and you will be speaking to God and to his grandmother, good Saint Anne, and they will be listening to you because you are dear to God, a grandmother, because grace and goodness glow from your face, because he has anointed you with the oil of gladness. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.